everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, who's making me laugh right now because he's holding his notes completely in front of his face.
Oh, are we ready? Hey, Dr. Linda.
I can't see your face. I know it's not TV, but I can't see his face. Well, every weekend we're here, we're doing life together, even if his notes are in front of his face. And actually, we're really glad you're here.
That's right. We always enjoy ourselves here on the Dr. Linda Mental
we
Show.
We do, and you're saying crazy things to me before the show starts. You're telling me that having a producer is like going to the dentist and getting your teeth cleaned.
His reaction was like, oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, I think. He's probably never heard that before.
That's right. Well, Dr. Linda, today's show is about an important topic that may not be suitable for young ears. We want to have a frank conversation about sexual harassment and assault in order to understand what's happening in our culture. And consequently, this show may be a little too sensitive for a younger audience.
I would say that. So if you've got young kids in your car or in your home, wherever you're listening right now, because the topic is about sexual issues, you may want to tell them this isn't the show for them to hear. So that's a good point, Chris. Well, listen, at the end of 2017, we're in a new year now, we heard a lot about all these allegations against celebrities and politicians. There were all kinds of accusations flying, names like Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, Harvey Weinstein, lots of celebrity names that were all associated with some type of sexual harassment, right?
They were, and it came as a shock because you wouldn't expect someone in such a professional position to get involved in this.
It was almost like America woke up and said, wow, there's a lot going on. And it took a few brave women, really, to start talking about this subject and getting someone to believe them to actually have all of this come out. And now it seems like it's kind of on an avalanche. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. But I think these problems have been with us for a long time, and especially when we're talking about the way women in particular have been treated by very powerful men. So we want to talk about this today from a Christian perspective.
We do. And Dr. Linda, I think now would be a good time to define sexual harassment.
Well, sexual harassment can be physical. It can be verbal. It can be social, like social media. It can be online. And so it can take a lot of different forms. But basically, if we want to really simplify the definition, we're saying that if you don't want the sexual contact and somebody does it, then it's sexual harassment or assault.
It's good to define that because people have different ideas about this topic. And as a matter of fact, Barna conducted a national survey of U.S. adults in October of 2017, just shortly after the Harvey Weinstein incident, and asked American adults to identify specific acts that they consider to be sexual harassment.
So people did respond to that survey, Chris, and what they said was that the answers were mostly about being touched or being groped. There were little differences, a few differences in terms of gender, but basically that's what people thought of when they heard those terms, or being forced to do something sexual against your will.
You know, I checked, as we're unpacking the definition of sexual harassment, the phrase was actually coined in 1975. And I think that's when women began to have a voice concerning this issue.
Well, there really wasn't any way to talk about it prior to that time. So people were maybe whispering in back rooms. Maybe women were saying something to other women. But once that term kind of got into the culture, then people started using the term sexual harassment. And that's what we're hearing a lot more about today. Right. Look how many years later that is. What is that? Can you do the math?
That's 75.
So this has been going on for a long time. It's just that now it's getting a lot of public attention.
You know, one of the things that we've learned with all the celebrity and political headlines is that sexual assault and harassment often go unreported, and people are reluctant to talk about it. Why is that?
Well, I think one of the main reasons is because people feel like they won't be believed. Think about it. If you're a young woman and you go before a very powerful man, a lot of the celebrity people that we heard about were producers or talent in their organizations, in their news organizations, they had a lot of power. So if you're a young woman and you're trying to make it in the business, you may say something to someone and people are maybe looking at you going, really? Are you kidding? He would never do that. So unless you have some kind of proof, and often it's just your word against my word, that type of scenario, it's very difficult for people to come forward because of that feeling that nobody's going to believe them. And then you add to this, Chris, even if they think, okay, maybe someone will believe me, there really is a lack of confidence in terms of what's going to be done about this.
True.
Is there going to be any kind of justice that will be done? And yet when you talk to women, half of all American adults, I guess not just women, admit to experiencing or witnessing some kind of sexual harassment at some point in their life.
So that means it happens way more than is reported. And like you said, according to Barna, 4 in 10 women say they have been victims of sexual assault.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this, and another reason that people don't report is because of the fear of retaliation by the offender.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now, again, we're talking about people in power or influence, or maybe even that you don't have to be that powerful, just fearful that somehow somebody's going to do something back to you because of your report. And there are times when people don't report because they're afraid of the consequences, like getting fired, even being humiliated by other people. I know of somebody who said they would not do it because of the backlash that would come in their organization. I actually talked to a woman who said that to me recently. There was a lot of sexual joking going on in her office, and she said, I'm not going to report it because I think I'll get fired or I'll get in trouble, and the person that's doing it won't have anything happen to him. So there's a lot of pressure sometimes from people not to report this stuff.
And you mentioned talking to someone about this. There is a human personal side to this issue, aside from all of the data and Barna references that we've made so far. Dr. Linda, have you been a victim of sexual assault yourself?
I haven't been a victim of assault, but I certainly have been a victim of harassment. Hmm. What I would call harassment occurred with me in a job setting and a university setting a long time ago. So not my current job. So I'm not reporting anything that's happening on the job right now. But I had somebody who actually groped me on the way to a meeting. Mm. We were walking across the campus. I was with a couple of men that were going to be in the meeting, and they actually grabbed me and groped me when we were walking across the sort of the campus area.
Right.
And I was so shocked at the time, Chris, that I kind of grabbed the hand and I yelled at the person to stop. And they started to laugh and try to kind of minimize it. And I just looked at them very sternly and said, I'm serious. That was not an okay thing to do.
Right. Something you've talked about on this show before is the sexual saturation in our culture and the mixed messages about sexuality in terms of what is acceptable and what's not. And it's a little confusing.
I think it's very confusing, honestly. Mm-hmm. You have the music industry putting out offensive lyrics that degrade and objectify women.
Right.
You know, I'm on a high horse about that. Every show I can, I get that in there, right? But then we expect men and women not to be impacted by these messages. So I think hip-hop music is the biggest offender. And I don't understand why people aren't more upset about the lyrics. You start listening to the lyrics of those hip-hop songs, and they're just offensive and degrading to women. And, you know, I heard a colleague of mine said something about, well, why are you picking on hip-hop? And I said, well, you know, Blake Shelton's song, you name the babies and I'll name the dogs, that's not exactly offensive lyrics, right?
True.
It's kind of everyday stuff in more country music.
Right.
But in hip hop, again, I just think that when I read the lyrics, and you can go to lyrics.com and you can read the lyrics of any song, you're going to find out that we're throwing this at people constantly. And then we're surprised when people actually act on those impulses. So I think it's very confusing in the entertainment industry.
Well, and then you have the pornography industry fueling hypersexuality and, again, objectifying and demeaning women. This has to affect the behavior of men when it comes to disrespecting women and harassing them.
Don't you think it does?
It does.
As a male?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that that has some impact on you if you were to watch that or you were to listen to the way women are talked about in music? Yet we don't hear anybody talking about these social influences when we're talking about sexual harassment and assault. And I'm not excusing anyone. I want to be really clear from taking responsibility for their own behavior. But we do need to think about how we fuel the fires of sexual assault and harassment. And we allow disrespect and the demeaning of others to be part of our, quote, entertainment.
Right. That's a good point, Dr. Linda. And there is more to come as we talk about sexual harassment and assault here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Stay with us.
Well, hi, everyone. Dr. Linda Mental here from the Dr. Linda Mental Show on Faith Radio. Hey, listen up. If you live in or near Madison, Wisconsin, I would love for you to join me Saturday, the 27th, at City Church in Madison from 9 to 4. I'll be doing an all-day teaching and training on making relationships work God's way. So tell your friends and anyone else who wants to know how to build strong relationships. It's going to be a great day, and we would love for you to be there. To register, go to ChristianCounselingMadison.com. That's ChristianCounselingMadison.com. Hope to see you on January 27th at City Church.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Radio Show, and tell your friends about this podcast and other shows that might interest them. And just go to myfaithradio.com and look through the list of archived shows. You might want to hear a past show on narcissism, procrastinating, the in-laws, making relationships last, and more. And to follow Dr. Linda on her blogs, go to her website, drlindamental.com, and you can connect there on social media as well. And
Wait. I'm going to interrupt you because our producer is just obsessed with your comment at the beginning of the show. So what did you mean when you said our producer is like going to a trip to the dentist? What was that?
Let me clarify.
Okay, please.
When you go to the dentist, he knocks off the rough edges, cleans things up, puts things back the way they are supposed to be. So when Dr. Norm coaches us, he cleans things up.
Ah, so you weren't harassing him. You were actually giving him a compliment.
Trying to anyway.
Yeah. All right. So let's go back to our show today. We had to clear that up. No misunderstandings.
Well, today's program actually may not be appropriate for young ears. So we want to warn you that our topic is about sexual harassment and assault. Dr. Linda, how do we view sexual harassment and assault from a Christian worldview?
A really easy way to think of it is that it is a sin against another person. It just violates boundaries.
Right.
You're violating another person's body. Certainly you can be violating their mind by the way you talk to them, the way you're dealing with them. It's a sin against a relationship because it violates the command to love one another as oneself. It destroys trust in a relationship. And people who engage in this behavior eventually self-destruct, I think. And
right.
I think they really ruin their relationships in the long run.
So it's safe to say nothing good can come from this type of behavior. And say more about the fallout of sexual harassment and assault.
Well, the fallout can last for years, even for a lifetime for some people if they don't get some help with it. Victims can experience fear in their other relationships. They can get anxiety. I see a lot of people, Chris, that have anxiety problems. And when we go back to what the root of the anxiety is, it's often some out-of-control experience. And sexual harassment and sexual assault can fall into that category. In some cases, people can develop a distrust or a hatred even for men.
Right.
And, you know, they can have an overwhelming sense of shame and guilt. So even though you're not the person who's the perpetrator, the things that are said to you, because they're often degrading, they're humiliating, the person who's the victim can feel shame after that. They can feel like maybe they're guilty in some way. And there's a lot of times a loss of self-worth, some difficulty that will then reemerge in other relationships, like in a marriage. And then some cases, if you've had a lot of sexual assault, and again, I've seen this in the histories of people I've worked with who are sexually promiscuous, so maybe people who go into prostitution or they're having a lot of sexual activity, sometimes the root of that can be that they were assaulted and they had something terrible happen to them early in life.
So this tendency towards sexual promiscuity is the victim?
Yes. So the victim can take that because they've been violated by the boundaries and they can use that and then they become more sexually active. And again, at the root of that is because they have a lot of shame and humility and a lot of internal pain that they're trying to hide to themselves, and sometimes medicating that through more sexual activities. A lot of times drugs are involved in that too. And one that we don't always think about too is that sometimes people develop an inability to relate to God. Because, again, that shame layer can be so severe in people's lives.
It's amazing how much this carries with it. This isn't just a single effect. Lots of things going on here. Dr. Linda, do people get better after sexual assault or harassment? What makes the difference?
I think it really matters if you get help or not. In some cases, you can get better just on your own, but most of the time, people need some help with this. If you think about it, especially if you're young when this happens and something assaultive in the sexual area happens to you, you've lost your carefree childhood. You're no longer just this kid who's not having any kind of issues. Suddenly, you're starting to feel that shame we talked about, that humiliation, and even as a result of this, people can develop depression and flashbacks and PTSD.
Wow.
A lot of times I'll see adolescents that self-injure, they're cutters.
Mm-hmm.
And at the root of that, again, is they've had some kind of a sexual assault that nobody's talked about. There's even physical fallout with this, with people getting sexually transmitted infections from sexual assault, eating disorders, pregnancy, sleep disorders, suicide. I mean, the list of mental health issues that can be associated with this is really long. So the healing process depends a lot on how severe the harassment and the assault was, how intrusive it was, and even in some cases, even if it's not that intrusive, if it had a genuinely tough impact on a person, it can stay with you. So you have to deal with this and acknowledge what happened and then try to move past it. You can become more and more able to resolve any kind of painful memories that are associated with this type of past. So give it to God, because God mm-hmm. carries everything, but it does help to talk it out with another person and to be able to, over time, deal with what happened, have a conversation where it doesn't hold as much power over you in the future. It's not like it didn't happen, but the fact that it did doesn't have the same effect on you over time if you work with somebody and you work through this.
We talked about this in the first segment about how people are reticent to report the fact mm-hmm. that sexual harassment has happened. You began to answer this question, I think. What should a person do if they have been a victim of sexual harassment?
They should talk to the person directly if they can and simply say to them something like, that isn't funny to me. I don't appreciate what you just did. Some joking and banter might be fun in a work setting, for instance. But when it crosses the line and it becomes something that is embarrassing or humiliating, it's appropriate for you to say to that person, I didn't think this was very funny and I don't appreciate it. Remember, sexual harassment includes any unwanted sexual behavior. So it's not just touching. It could be making comments of a sexual nature. And sometimes that line can be very blurry for people right. when it comes to like teasing or flirting. They're not really sure, is that sexual harassment or not? If you're uncomfortable, say something to that person.
Well, this is difficult because, like we said, this person could be your boss in mm-hmm. a position of power, but the silence and the continuing behavior can eat away at someone.
It does. It does take courage to speak up, and that's what we were seeing often at the end of last year. We were seeing a lot of people who were starting to speak up and have the courage to do that. It's the right thing to do. You do have to say something to someone else. When you give an account to another person, then people can help you take action. They can advise you as to what the best course of action is. It's important to remember, though, that sexual violence is not even about the sex. I know it's about sex, but it's not about sex. That probably sounds very confusing. But because it's more about the power that's involved, about one human being making another person feeling small and insignificant, and humiliating somebody, making you feel less than, and then using the tools that we associate with intimacy to do that. So you can see how this is really tough for people who have been through it.
Dr. Linda, as we near the end of the segment, what can someone do? What are the steps if they are being sexually harassed?
So we talked about talking to someone, trying to confront it first, then talking to somebody. Mm-hmm. Document it if you're in a work setting and you're worried that you're not going to be believed. Find other people that might have been victims. There's power in numbers when people are saying, hey, he did that to me too. Hey, wait a minute. He did the same thing to me. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you say something to another person, other people will come out of hiding. And then if you're in a work environment, Chris, it's appropriate to contact your human resource manager or right. some supervisor or somebody. Contact the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission if you're really unsure. And in the worst cases, you can file a lawsuit.
Right. Well, I hope this is helping you better understand how to handle sexual harassment and create a safe work environment. When we come back, hope and healing from the consequences of sexual harassment and assault. More to come.
From the moment we're born, we're in relationship. At first, we depend on others to take care of us, to meet all of our needs. Then as we grow older, we make friends, we meet school teachers, later a boss at work and a spouse at home. Every relationship is important. Every relationship requires cultivation and nurturing. And at some point or another, every relationship has its challenges and they revolve around conflict. Did you know that you can grow through conflict and become such a healthier you than you ever expected? Well, I want to help you look at conflict in new ways, to approach conflict in ways that work, My book, We Need to Talk, can help you become a better problem solver, learn to negotiate differences, and strengthen all relationships even when conflict seems destructive. Well, let's face it, conflict is an unavoidable part of our everyday life. But conflict doesn't have to overwhelm you or destroy your relationships.
We Need to Talk, an important book by Dr. Linda Mental, is written to help you successfully navigate conflict. Find We Need to Talk wherever you buy books online. You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and today we are addressing a sensitive topic, sexual harassment and assault. And we say that again in case there are young children listening. You may not want them to hear this show. And we also want to remind you that Dr. Linda addresses this topic and others in her weekly blogs. Go to her website, drlindamental.com, and you can scroll through lots of articles on relationships and more. Also follow her on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And Dr. Linda, it seems to me that pastors and spiritual leaders especially must be ready to talk with their members about this topic and offer counseling, to speak about it from the pulpit, and talk about the humanization and the gender equality that this involves.
I know. So we really do need to be talking about this in our churches, don't we, Chris?
We do.
Have we ever talked about this in our church?
Don't
I'm trying
so.
To think.
Don't
I don't think
so.
We've ever had a conversation about this,
no.
And yet this should be the place, because of the love that we have in Christ, this is the place that we should be talking about these very difficult subjects. So I would even say maybe begin to discuss this in youth groups. Mm. You know, not the really young kids, but the
right.
older kids in the teenage years, so that they can begin to understand what it is. And maybe even having boys and girls separated and talking to mm-hmm. boys about what's appropriate, what's not appropriate, and to the girls how to respond in case they're in these situations.
Wouldn't you think the conversation should begin with an understanding of both sexes and the fact that they are created in God's image?
Yes. In the Old Testament, we're given the first creation story, right?
Mm.
The equality of men and women is right there. So God created man in his own image, male and female, he created them. Both were created in the image of God. And this implies that we're both co-heirs. We're working alongside each other in our ongoing stewardship of the world that God has created. So there is this human dignity of both sexes that should be respected, that we see right at the beginning of creation.
That's right. In the New Testament, in Galatians 3:28, it's revolutionary concerning this, because Paul says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus."
It's like
amazing.
That.
That's powerful.
I like that we're all in one
right.
in Christ Jesus, right? When we come to Christ, he begins to help us see each other in a much more equal way. That's what the love of God does inside of us.
Right.
Jesus had a radical view of women for his day.
That's true, and it begins with valuing women and men alike as made in the image of God. And we should say that sexual assault is in the Bible.
It is.
And the Bible doesn't cover up or ignore rape. It was answered and avenged. But the church doesn't really like to talk about the difficult passages that deal with sexual assault.
You know, the Bible has a number of stories about sexual assault. A few that come to mind are, remember when Jacob's daughter Dinah
right.
was violated by the son of a neighboring ruler? Shechem, her brothers, murdered him, his father, and all of the men in the city for revenge. Mm. That's in Genesis. And after Tamar was raped by her half-brother Amnon, her brother Absalom killed him and incited a rebellion against his father, King David. So you're right, Chris. Mm. The Bible does talk about sexual assault.
I think it's important to see, like you said, that God has included these awful stories in his word, knowing the condition of sin and how it distorts respect and value of people.
We, the church, can be a place where both men and women can be themselves, be accepted as they are, and recognized as people made in the image of God. So we can be the outpost of love. We can be a viable alternative from secular thinking. That, to me, is very important, that the church shows the love and actually acts this out in a way that is very visible in our community. By our prayer and our care, we could also be a place of refuge, a place of healing, a place of restoration for the victims of sexual violence. So it is possible for victimized women to have her humanity and her value reaffirmed and learn or relearn that Christ loves her.
You know, the church should be a place of both healing and hope. And this happens when the church responds in a supportive way. But Dr. Linda, wouldn't you think that women sometimes wonder, do I pursue justice or extend grace?
Well, the truth is we need to do both.
Mm-hmm.
We need to report the incidents and the men to the company or the place of harassment, and then continue to talk openly with someone that you trust. By God's grace, you can extend grace, you can offer forgiveness eventually in that process and hold no bitterness against the person. That's a process. People have to really work through that, Chris, but it does require some prayer, some support, and some godly counsel, which is why the church should play such a vital role in this.
How should the church respond then specifically?
People in the church should really question their own behavior. And make sure they're not engaging in off-color jokes and demeaning comments about women, gays, or other parties that could be involved. And if someone in the church is abusing power in this way, it needs to be reported to an elder, to a board member, or someone who can address it.
You've dealt with this problem in church leadership. And how did that go?
It didn't go well. The leadership was really reluctant to take on the pastor, and the women being victimized were very confused. They thought it was their fault.
Well,
it was a real mess that required action be taken and counseling offered. But unfortunately, what happened is the leadership of the church didn't do anything, and people left the church as a result. And certainly this didn't fix the problem. Eventually, though, that pastor left that church, went to another church. But it really makes me wonder if anyone in the new church had heard anything from the old church people about this violation. So you wonder if it would continue again. You know, maybe something else would happen again. It's sad. And church leadership really needs to take this on when there's been any kind of talk about this and do an investigation.
Dr. Linda, do you think a person ever gets free if they are unable to forgive their abuser and turn vengeance over to God?
Well, for true healing to come, I do believe you have to choose to forgive. If you're controlled by bitterness over what has happened to you, or you're feeling depressed, this allows the abuser really to have power over you still, and it continues to destroy your life. Your abuser has done enough to you already. By hating the person, you give that person control over you. By God's grace, you have a choice here. So if you or someone you know has suffered sexual assault or sexual harassment, know that you're not alone in this. There are people trained to help you and walk you through the healing process. So find a Christian counselor or someone who specializes in sexual assault and trauma. Get help today. And if you're a college student, report any violation that you might have to your Title IX officer. Their purpose is to investigate and provide resources for anyone that has been a victim of sexual assault or sexual harassment. Well, I hope this has been helpful. I know it's a tough topic, Chris, that we've been talking about today. That's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our social media director and producer, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Doing life together.
Thanks for listening to the Dr. Linda Mintel podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show.